I'm going to take the offerings. You may be seated. Could our offering volunteers come down, please? This week, we're going to highlight Sonia Natal from Brazil for our Missionary Month. And we have a lot of neat things to tell about them. And one of the things, Tim and I went to college with them, and that was 40 years ago. And just think that someone is still in the missionary and as passionate as them for 40 years, that says something. So we're going to get to know them a little bit better in their ministry down there and what they do. So today we want to really pray for Sonia Natal. And it's with joy that we get to give back to God. I'm so thankful that we get to meet the needs of their ministry and other ministries around the world. So let's pray. It's with joy in our hearts, Lord, that we get to give back to you. And we just have so much joy to give. And we pray that we can give needs and hope and provide for these people around the world and even in our community. So I pray that you would use our ministry in this church to bless the community and to serve our community. And we pray for Natal and Sonia and their mission in Brazil, Lord, and what they do. And I thank you for all the lives that have come to know you through them. And with gratitude, we thank you for all that you've done. Amen.
What an appropriate song, My Story. We're going to be talking about their story, which is Natal and Sonia. And we're going to be Tim's going to be sharing about our story, how we came together. And then we're going to go over my story, how we blend that all together. But if you think about this, it all falls into the story of Jesus, his story. Post-resurrection, pre-ascension, Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and spread the gospel, teaching, discipling, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And how exciting it is, you're going to find out in this short hour, hopefully, how interwoven our stories are and how similar to us they actually are. Tim said that we support missions in cities where if we were to go into that city and look for a church to go to, we would feel at home at that church. And I think we would. From everything I've learned about them, definitely feel at home with these people. So we'll tell you some fun facts now. Oh, you're going to do the game first. It's game time. Sorry.
Well, I'm a kindergarten teacher, and when I teach things, I use games a lot. And one of the games that I use is Would You Rather? and as they guess things from the students, they put tally marks, so to practice their tally marks, and then they get to know each other. So we're going to play that this morning. Not to get to know each other, but get to know Brazil a little bit and get to know a couple people in our congregation of what they would rather do if they were in Brazil. So the first person I'd like to have come up is Joy. And what we're going to do is I'm going to put two different animals that you would see in Brazil up on the screen. Right here. Okay, so we have the sloth and the golden lion tamarin. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about both of them, and then you're going to vote what one you think Joy would rather have in her backyard. All right, the sloth sleeps 10 hours. He only goes to the bathroom one time a week. And he can turn his head around 360 degrees. Okay, the little monkeys. They live in a group. Whenever they have babies, they have twins, so they're really cute, and they stick together as a family. And the dad, after a while, takes care of the baby the most. So raise your hand if you think she would like to have the sloth. And you're going to have to tell us what. All right, raise your hand if you think she'd like to have the golden lion tamarin.
She's already got
him. All right, and
what's your choice?
I'd want the sloth because Jimmy wouldn't have to plunger the toilet so much.
I think they have the cutest little face. I just love them. All right, well, thank you, Joy. So those are two animals that you would see in Brazil. The monkey is only in Brazil. All right, next I would like to have Ray come up. And we have some dangerous ones for him. What would you rather have in your backyard? A blue poison dart frog. He's only 1.5 inches long. He was just discovered in 1969. He has toxins that come through his skin to paralyze his predators, and he has really sticky skin. The piranha can bite more than 30 times his weight. And in 2011, 100 people got injured by the piranha. What would you rather have in your backyard if you lived in Brazil?
I'd say the frog.
And why?
Just because it's poison. I wouldn't want to get all chewed up. So I'm going that way with it. Yeah, I'd rather be paralyzed than get chewed up. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Mary's going to come up. Pat's going to come up, okay? Okay. We're going to see what kind of food he would choose to eat if he went to Brazil. These are some of the more normal foods that they have that they really like. One is a fish stew, has lime juice in it, garlic, and tilapia. The other one is kaibi, minced beef or lamb seasoned with herbs and spices, and they have that like the markets a lot. The street vendors have that. Who thinks he would like the fish stew? Who thinks he'd like the kaibi? All right. But what would you choose?
Hamburger, but no. I guess the fish stew.
Fish stew, why?
Yeah. I don't know, really. It's just the first one that I picked.
All right. Thank you. All right. And the next one is about the schools. Carmine, I'm going to have a student come up on this one. Would you rather? The school's a little bit different. They go from 7 to 1 o'clock because the families all like to eat together their lunch. And that's a big thing. They start in February, but their seasons are different. They go 220 days, so they go a longer time than us. But they have that 7 to 12 to 1. Or do you like the United States, where I think when I do my report cards, we're about 172 days a week, a year, and we go from about 8 to 3. What do you think? Would you rather go to Brazil and go to the 7 to 1? Raise your hand if you think that's what Chad's thinking it is. His dad's thinking he likes that. How many think he would like just how we do it? Okay, what's your choice?
I'm liking on the Brazil one.
Yeah. I thought so. That 7 to 1 is good. All right, thank you. Yeah. So hopefully you know a little bit about some of the food and the education, some different kind of things if you live there. Now we're going to just do some facts, some fun facts about Brazil, so you kind of know the environment that Sonia and Natal live in and some of the things that are around them.
They live in the state of São Paulo, which means St. Paul, and in a city called Campinas. That is there's 26 states in the Federal Republic of Brazil. And it's a major industrial area. It's one of the wealthiest in the whole area. It actually, the GDP in that particular state is larger than anywhere else in Brazil. So it's definitely a very active, very industrial, very well-developed state in Brazil.
One of the things that, why they are missionaries there, and you'll find out from their testimony how Natal didn't know Christ is, there's so much Catholic there and Catholicism. So that's what they're kind of going against, is that was the major religion in Brazil.
There's a low infant mortality rate, a high life expectancy in that country, in that particular state. It's the safest state in the country, and it's also got one of the highest literacy rates. That means 7 to 1 must do it because everybody there can read.
I want you to look at your little, I call them flip books, but look at your little flip book where they have the flag, kind of help you understand what the flag means. The motto is Order and Progress, and the background is green, and the diamond is yellow. Green and the yellow represent agriculture and mineral resources, and the blue of the globe and the white of the stars represents its ties to Portugal, and the stars represent the states. So the Portuguese spoken in Brazil have been influenced by the African and Native South Americans.
How many of you are familiar with your science class, why the seasons change? You know, the Earth turns on its axis. Our seasons are exact opposite of theirs. When it's winter here, it's summer there, and vice versa. So during that time in February when they're starting, probably not walking to school in the snow.
Some of the rainforest rare and wonderful creatures that they have is the crocodile, the morpho butterfly, the spotted the seven river otter, a 7-foot river otter, the emerald boa, and many colorful flowers. And that one butterfly is just really big and blue. It's really pretty.
Came across something I hadn't seen before. Human Development Index. You learned this in school? You're shaking your head like you know what I'm talking about. One of us should. They have the highest human development index. I guess that means people are at a higher level of human development. All right. Anybody got a clue? John? Education, economics, and okay.
One of the reasons I'd like to go to Brazil is cocoa is their favorite drink. I love chocolate. So cocoa and chocolate come from the beans of the cacao tree.
Okay, this is my last one. I'm out after this, but Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I have it from a high source, came from Brazil.
Football, but it's not football, it's soccer, is their national sport. And one of the best-known soccer players in the world is Pelé from Brazil.
Fun facts done for you, or you got more? I figured as a teacher would have more. Here's some interesting things about Natal and Sonia. When they met, Sonia was not a Christ follower. No, Natal was not a Christ follower. Sonia was. Natal left a high-paying job in the banking industry to become a pastor. When they went to Baptist Bible College, Tim, Deb, Steve, and Cindy were all their friends, and they all worked in the cafeteria together. And he's got more to say about that. I'm not saying another word. Natal's birthday is December 25th, 1950. Sonia's is October 23rd, and there's no date on Facebook. I'm sure that's probably typical for women. They began their ministry 34 years ago in Campinas. Their children's names and their wives are David and his wife, Bruna, and Jonathan and his wife, Fabiana. And that's them in the picture up there. They planted 8 churches so far in 6 different villages, and they have a camp. You know, we go to Silver Birch. They built a camp there for all those churches. They have 10 different groups of 15 each in small group studies in homes, and they provide training for those people on a weekly basis, and their favorite part of ministry is discipling new Christians.
We're going to see Sonia's video first, and again, she was a Christian. Just want to give you some memories of her when I was in college. You know, she worked in the cafeteria with us, and I would get up. I was student teaching at that time, and I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, walk over in the dark, and then open up the cafeteria door, and it would be light, and we would cook breakfast for the students. And so she was there a lot of times cooking with me, and just always happy, passionate Christian. That's my thought of her, just always passionate, happy. And I know that carried them through these 40 years of just being in Brazil, the same place. That's huge for somebody to stay in the same place, their home country, and minister there. So we're going to hear her testimony.
And sister from Community Baptist Church. My name is Sonia Luznak, and I'm a missionary down here in Brazil. I was born in a home where only my mother was a Christian. She took me to the Bible church since I was a little kid. At the age of 12 years old, I got saved in the Sunday school class. My Sunday school teacher was a great impact in my life. She was a great blessing to me, and she taught me a lot of things from the Bible. Debbie asked me if I have, how are my sons? So, we have two sons, David and Jonathan, and they are married. David, he played the guitar at the church, and he teaches the young people. Jonathan, he's married too, and he plays the drums, and he teaches the teenagers. Okay, you ask me how we say family in Portuguese. Okay, family in Portuguese is família. Okay, God bless you, and thank you very much for your prayers and support.
You may have caught that our name has changed for today. We're Community Baptist Church today. So you'll hear that from Natal as well. This is Natal's testimony.
Oh, Community Baptist Church. Well, I'm supposed to tell you how I got saved. I was raised at the Roman Catholic Church down here in Brazil. And for 24 years of my life, I never heard the gospel. The first time that I heard the gospel was when Sonia, today my wife, invited me to come to the church. And over there at the church, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. Brother George Simpson, one of our old missionaries down here in Brazil, was preaching that night. And I was touched by the Holy Spirit. But that night, I didn't get saved. Well, took me some months to understand the whole thing. And then I got saved. But I want you to understand, for 24 years of my life, I never heard the gospel at all. I never heard someone that would share the word of God with me, not even a person. But praise the Lord, that night, I got saved, and I would like to thank you tonight for the monthly support and for your faithful prayers. Thank you so much. And I am supposed also to say how we say in our language the word family. The word family in Portuguese is família. Thank you so much. God bless you, every one of you.
Let's do that one more time. Nos somos familia. Ready? Nos somos familia. Okay, and take your cards that you were given and make use of them today. If you have a pen, that was their story. Tim's going to go through our story and then my story. So if you've got a pen, there's room in here to write. These are things you can take with you, and then in the future, pray for them when you think about them.
I hope you're making use of this. It's a good tool. I used mine from last week. Just put it on my desk, and then every time I'd sit down at the desk, be reminded of the Minellis from last week. And this week you have that sweet little Brazilian flag on the front of yours. And Bonnie, I'm not sure how this happened, but I got ripped off. Mine doesn't have a Brazilian flag. So, especially for me, yeah. It's called the rip-off one. Oh, thank you so much for that, Tom. Yeah. I do love it because I love to be able to write down things. Remember, what we're trying to do is move to the next level in our relationship with these national pastors. And we support four national pastors, but this month we're focusing in on three of those four because we feel like we've focused in a lot on the other national pastor, Pastor Aculus, a lot. Let me just take a second to talk about our story, okay? Deb mentioned, Tom mentioned, I met Natal and Sonia at Bible College. And the reason they called us Community Baptist College or Community Baptist Church is because we met at Baptist Bible College. So those of you who don't know that I have a Baptist background, here was the theme. The college was called Baptist Bible College, and Baptist word was first. Okay? It was even before Bible. All right? Like, we were that staunch. I don't know that we were that staunch, but we were that staunch. Natal and I met because we worked in the cafeteria together. So there were a lot of different jobs in the cafeteria because you're serving meals all day long for students. And Deb had a job early morning. She actually oftentimes not only did breakfast, but did a lot of the bakery stuff, which sounds like a great job unless you have that and make baked goods all the time for hundreds and hundreds of students. Not so good. My job was a sought-after job in the cafeteria. I started out on dish crew, but by the time Natal had gotten to school, I was on pots and pans. Woohoo! Dish crew was constant. Like, there's just constantly plates, silverware coming through. You're scraping them, sliding it over to the dishwasher. They're putting them in the big Hobart. Any of you have done dishwashing? The big Hobart washer. And then they'd come out and somebody would restack those. And that was a fast-paced job. But then when you moved to pots and pans, it slowed down a little bit for you. And you could actually have conversation. So one of us would spray the pots and pans and then hand it over to the other person and they'd wash the pots and pans. So we would trade back and forth on that. But Natal and I would be there for two and a half hours at any meal that we were working. That's plenty of time to build a relationship. And it wasn't so fast-paced that we couldn't have great conversation with each other. And so in many ways, looking back now, I feel like I was the real educator in Natal's life. He did go to classes, and those Bible professors, I'm sure, you know, influenced him a lot. But whatever he needed to have conversation about, we had when we were at work. And so we were together probably 4 hours a day, sometimes 5-6 hours a day. And he'd ask me anything. I think I've told you this before. One day he came in with this big perplexed look on his face and he said, "What is Hawaii?" And I said, "Well, it's a greeting. It's a greeting. It's kind of a slang greeting between people when you're saying, how are you?" And he goes, "No. Hawaii." And I go, I know. You say, "How are you?" And I say, "I'm fine." And he said, no. Grass dresses, flowers, Hawaii. So almost every day it was an education of him teaching me or me teaching him. To this day, I'm not a coffee drinker. So how many coffee drinkers in here? How many non-coffee drinkers? Very few. Right? Oh, more. Oh, the kids are in here. Yeah, okay. All right. So I'm not a coffee drinker because my mom told me a long time ago it might stunt my growth. So I'm still planning on growing. But Natal and Sonia were the first ones to get me to drink coffee. And it was on this promise. You'd heard a lot about coffees from Central and South America and how good they were. But they swore Brazil had the best coffee, and it was because it took so little sugar to blend with it. And I would go to his house to watch soccer, which was crazy. I never saw a sport that went backwards more than it went forward, that people got excited about a 0-0 tie. So he tried explaining the strategy of soccer, and then I would drink coffee there, and he was right. The coffee was, it was fantastic. I think more than anything, I got an opportunity to know him. Like, we got a brief snapshot of his testimony, but I was pretty amazed. I had grown up in a Christian home. I lived here in the United States of America, and it was just a natural course for me as someone who was going to become a pastor to go to a Bible college, particularly the Bible college that I went to. On the other hand, Natal didn't become a Christian until his adult years, and he was vice president in a bank when he came to know Christ. And within a short time of coming to know Christ, he felt compelled that God was calling him to be a pastor. And so he uprooted himself and his wife and eventually their two boys when they were born and came to the United States. Now, before Sonia got here, Natal came. He flew in because the school year was starting. He didn't know any English. He brought Portuguese to English dictionary with him, landed, came on campus, not knowing how he was going to support himself, what job he would have, how him and Sonia were going to live here, and how they were going to be able to take care of their family. He did that all by faith. It's an amazing thing to me. I think I need to do this. Kids, if you're preschool to fourth grade, you want to head out. Yeah. I see a couple of you getting antsy and then panicky teacher. You can go. Or helpers, anybody that's helping there. I was stunned by the faith that he had as being a new Christian, feeling the call of ministry, that he left everything. His family was not thrilled by that decision, left everything, came to a country that he didn't know the language and started studying so that he could go back and share the good news with the people that he loved most. Deb talked a little bit about this and Natal mentioned it. And I want to talk a little bit about the idea of Catholicism, because it's very different than here. And if you've traveled around the world, you find that Catholicism can be different country to country. And one of the confusing things in Brazil about Catholicism was that it had blended so much in with the native spiritual religions. And so it wasn't teaching a clear truth about who Jesus Christ was, about our need for salvation. And so his passion was to go back and take that word to his people. Natal and Sonia were the first missionaries our church supported. They were the first national pastor that our church supported. And we have supported them the longest, and we have supported them and to now still support them the most. When they first went, they had very little support. But now, because they've planted so many churches, those churches have grown. For the most part, their churches pay for their own support. The mission support that we send down helps them do outreach, helps them with the camp that they've established, and helps them with pastoral training and their small group training. So that's how we got connected with Natal and Sonia. I'm glad we saw pictures of their sons, David and Jonathan. I knew their boys when one of them was about 2.5 years old and the other one was a newborn baby. And to see them and hear about the story of their impact on ministry now is just an exciting thing for me. I want to go back to the verses that we've been looking at. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read through it out loud, but you read through it with your eyes with me, okay? Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Can we just stop there? And hopefully you're sitting close to somebody you love and adore, okay? I just want to take that first sentence, and I want to share that with whoever's sitting next to you, okay? Every time I think about you, man, I'm just thankful, right? So hopefully you're sitting next to somebody you can say that to. Go ahead and turn and say that to them. Now listen, if you have an odd number, make sure that fifth person gets spoken to, all right? You got it? That's a good sentence. That's a good principle. That's a good truth for any relationship. But what we're placing it in is this thought of the missionaries that we're connected to. So it's saying something like this: Natal and Sonia, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. We spent some time on that a couple of weeks ago, what that means. This thankfulness, this Eucharist, this I can't believe how thankful I am. And it's to make us stop on a regular basis when we think of them and be thankful for them. And the question that week was this. It was just a simple, practical question. How often are you thinking about our missionaries? I think the answer is something like this. Well, I think about them on a regular basis, but I wish or I know that I should think about them more. So that's why we set this next level month this month. It's to give all of us an opportunity to really concentrate on answering a question like, how much do I think? Well, I think about them maybe, you know, maybe at missions months. Or I think about when I see something that connects with that country. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Growing up, we had this little wooden box on our kitchen table. And inside it was the missionaries that our church supported. It was a card on each of those missionaries. And before we would eat supper at night, before we would pray, one of us would pull out one of the cards, whatever was the first one in the box, and read about that particular missionary and then put it in the back of the box. So we just keep rotating through them. But on the back of that card were prayer needs, like, what can we pray for about this family? So that was we knew that every evening at supper we were going to think about and then give thanks. And then that leads to the next sentence. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, wow, whew. Whenever I pray, I might request for all of you with joy. Again, this is talking about the Minellis from last week. This is talking about Natal and Sonia, the Losnacks, this week. Natal and Sonia, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Natal and Sonia, whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. And then we're adding this week, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. You heard Natal's testimony that he came to know Christ and not long after that felt called to be a pastor, came and got training and then went back and has been there all these decades now. So I want to frame it with this on this next slide for you. Every time I think about you, this is what we're really trying to get on that next level. Every time I think about you, I give thanks, I pray, and I partner with. And this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about that partnering with. Okay? The word partner there, if you've been a Christian very long, or maybe you've even heard of a ministry called Koinonia. Anybody ever heard of that? A lot of college campuses have it. And it is the word from the Bible that means fellowship. How many have been in church long enough or you've been around church long enough that you've heard of fellowship? Okay. I was in an African-American church years ago in Chicago. One of the biggest churches, and the pastor was preaching. He was preaching about fellowship. And he goes, "You want to know what fellowship means? It's a bunch of fellows in the same ship." And that's what he's trying to say. He was trying to say, listen, if we're a congregation, if we're in fellowship with each other, it's a bunch of people in the same ship going in the same direction. That's one way that it could be defined. It goes to a second one, not just fellowship, but joint participation. Joint participation. And that's really what he's focusing in on here. Like in that verse, it said, "For you have been my partners in spreading the good news." We've been participating together in spreading the good news about Christ. That's what it really is this joint partnership. Whew. So that happens on a regular basis a lot. Maybe it's two people that are in the same home, husband and a wife, and it's supper time, and they decide they're going to cook supper together. So how many of you married couples cook supper together? All right? Good. How many of you don't because it saves fights? Okay, yeah. All right. If Deb and I decided to cook supper together, it would just be this joint participation. Deb's going to do this part, I'm going to do this part. Probably my part's going to be setting the table. Right? That's that joint participation. That's what that is. You guys came this morning, saw the property all mowed, big green field, right? Tom Levan, did you mow this week? Okay. And did anybody else help you? Did anybody else help you? Yeah. Could you tell me who the other person was? Dan Roser? Okay. So you should see these guys when they're out there. They're on riding lawnmowers, and it's like slow. What's the crash thing when cars crash? And not bumper car, but we'll say bumper car. We'll go with that. Yeah, we'll go with that. That's what it is, slow. That's joint participation. Okay? Now, what we're talking about here is joint participation with Natal and Sonia in Brazil, and we're participating in this idea, this question. How do we partner with missionaries? What is our joint participation? It's in these words: spreading the good news. That's what it is. So can I just tell you, as a church, we've been participating by praying for them. We've been participating by financially supporting them. We hear about projects. We attempt to do that. But remember now, we as a church are saying in this mission month, leading into our September mission month, that we're trying to get to the next level. And so we're asking this: how do we partner with our missionaries? What is our joint participation in helping them spread the good news? Like, how can we do that? What can we do here, Rockford, Illinois, all the way down to Campinas? And it leads me to this last question. Next level for me. What is that next level for me? What is it? Last week in the verse that we were looking at, it was, if I'm not praying for these missionaries, it's to begin to pray for them. And to pray for them on a regular basis. And to pray for them by name. Jeff came up and shared last week a list of prayer needs that the Minnellis had. And so it's for you and me, if we weren't praying for them before, to say, starting now in my joint participation, I'm going to be praying for the Minnellis, for the Los Knox. I'm going to be praying for Albania, for Brazil. But this week it pushes a little farther. It's not just praying, but this week it says to partner with. So my question is, how are we going to partner with Natal and Sonia? We have their story, we have our story, but then it really comes down to this at the end for us. It's my story. And it's not just how are we going to partner with them. My question to you, that only you and God's Spirit can answer, is how are you going to partner with them? Hashtag we are family. Right? Like, that's how deep this partnership goes. This isn't a business arrangement. This isn't just a friendship arrangement. This is a family arrangement. And so partnering goes all the way. How are you going to partner? We have a bench over here and nice decoration. We'd like you to, as a family, if you could, if you feel led to do that, or an individual, to sit down, hold the sign, and we'd like to send those pictures over. We'd like the Minnellis to know that such and such a family is praying for them, is partnering with them. We'd like Natal and Sonia to know that such and such a person is praying for them and partnering, like really searching out, God, how can I partner with them? All right, I think I'm going to have Tom come and share his letter.
It's got 10 fun facts that we talked about Natal and Sonia, 10 prayer needs. There's also mailing address in the U.S., mailing address in Brazil. And I put find us on Facebook. I didn't feel comfortable giving you their email address right now. You can get that from them yourself. But if you're on Facebook and you go there at least once in your lifetime, please raise your hand. You know this Facebook Messenger, right? That's cheap. It's free. It's easy. Look these people up. You'll find them. They're actually tied into our church Facebook too. And maybe send some encouragement if that's what God is leading you to do. If you like writing letters, I can't remember the last time I wrote a letter, but there's mailing addresses here, and you might want to send it to the U.S. so you get the postage correct. It'll get to them. This goes to a missionary clearinghouse. They're supported by a missionary group. Their money goes through there. All their funding does support, and they get their letters that way too. But he sends us a letter that he sends out to all the churches that support him. And Tim was talking about, you know, things we do, things they do, discipleship, salvation, messages come back, you know, we're reaching this many people, etc. But let me give you some highlights here. I'm going to do this again. Everybody's kind of... Children, if you're here and you're from fourth grade to a freshman in college, please stand up. Fourth grade to freshman in college. You look around. What's your first emotion that comes to you? Fear? Is there any anxiety or love? Pride? Yeah, you got a lot to be proud about. You guys can sit down now. When I hear about young people turning their lives over to Christ, and I hear about children making decisions for Christ, it breaks me up. I'm like Chad up here when that happens. I'm not going to, though. No head rubbing or crying. That's his gig, not mine. But listen to this. Our hearts are overwhelming with joy, praise and gratitude for what the Lord has done. This month, March 1st to 5th, we had a camp for young people. And there's an exclamation point. So if you've got a heart like that, it's like, yes, they're all together. Or it's, yikes, they're all together. 110 young people were present at the camp. 32 people made decisions. When you say you make a decision, it's not like, what am I having for lunch? It's like, I'm turning this over to God. And I'm a parent of four boys. And when I heard one of my sons come home from camp and tell about all the wonderful fun things and crazy things that happened, then you start to hear how God worked on them. And when they tell you they've done something or they've made a decision, it's like, thanks, God. Thank you, whoever you are at that camp that got through to them. I've got a son that works in a Christian camp in Michigan right now. Gave his life over to poverty and service for God and lots of fun. And to give you an idea, it's not all hard work. I went up and built a trebuchet with him 2 weeks ago. So I got another son that's in a church plant out in Kansas City. They made those decisions at camp. Well, here in church too, but that's where they were isolated. That's where they were with friends who were all thinking the same thoughts, talking about the same subject. And so that was the good news. But listen to this. 12 received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's a life change for eternity. Not a life change for a vocation, a life change for I'm not going to do drugs anymore or whatever. That's a life change for life with Christ in eternity for heaven. And then he talks about how it happened. There was a pastor, Mike McDonald, there, a preacher that came from the States. And then he says they continue to train leaders for Bible studies at homes. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world, making disciples. Well, they're training those people, and they have 37 people training to be disciplers, and they're praying for 30 more in the next 6 months. And they're asking for this. They're asking for us to pray for the needs of their camp. The camp is 20 years old. It needs better electrical wiring, and it needs a new water box, is what they're calling it. I guess it's a well and a pump. And they're asking for us to send donations if we have it, and they need $6,000 for that. Now, we're going to take a second offering, and that second offering is our mission offering today. And it's not necessarily dedicated to them. It's money that goes to the general mission fund. And, you know, praise God this church has a heart for missions because we're very well supported in our mission efforts. We sometimes have surpluses, which then God shows us what that surplus is for. So it's like he provides, and he provides through us. So when we're giving in the second offering, you know, if you came prepared to do that today, great. If not, we're going to do it again next week. And during the offering, we're going to, if I can find it on my phone here, we're going to be listening to them sing one of their favorite songs. It's by a band called Delirious. They're about, 20, 15 years ago, they were a big hit in the Christian scene. And let me read you some of the words. Is it true today that when people pray, cloudless skies will break, kings and queens will shake? Yes, it's true and believe it. I'm living for you. Is it true today that when people pray, we'll see dead men rise and the blind set free? Yes, it's true. Believe it. I'm living for you. I'm going to be a history maker in this land. I'm going to be a speaker of the truth to all mankind. I'm going to stand, I'm going to run into your arms into your arms again. And much of the same. We'll see miracles. We'll see His power. But it all comes from the power that Christ gave us when He ascended back into heaven. He told His disciples, "All authority has been given to me under heaven. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I will be with you." He promises this job, this task, this great commission He's given us. The power will be supplied through Him. And our friends, our family, Los Somos Familia in Brazil is doing just that. So after church, please come up and pick up one of these. Take it home with you. Put it in your refrigerator. I don't care. Throw it in your Bible. But let's talk to our family in Brazil. So if you guys could come up for the offering. Lord, I want to thank You for every moment we have to talk about You here on this earth. I want to thank You when You make those opportunities happen for us and Your Holy Spirit leads us. And I pray that You'd be with Natal and Sonia and their sons as they minister You in Brazil, and that they know through us in the next few weeks as we send pictures, mail, Facebook messages, that we're praying for them and that we are considering them as family. Bless this offering that You give us today, Lord, for the further of Your gospel. In Jesus' name.
Well, let's all stand. Next Sunday during our music service, if people come by really close with a phone and they're videotaping, you just keep singing, okay? That's good to hear people worshiping around the world. Steve, could you put the verse up there for us? All right, we good? We get these, right? You got them? Like, we read this verse one time, you should know it. All right. You ready? I'm going to say the reference, then we'll all say it together. Philippians 1, 3 through 5. Every time I give my God, whenever I make my request for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Just fill in the blanks. Like, if you just fill in those blanks, it says a lot. Like, it's really good stuff. A couple months ago, I talked about when we come into the back of the auditorium, like when we come in through those back doors, what we should be asking ourselves before we move past those doors is, what has Christ done for me? And what can I do for my brothers and sisters inside this room? Like, we should ask that question. What has Christ done for me? Man, He's done so much. You heard that term that was used, saved. Maybe you don't understand that. That's that moment you come into this, like, understanding that God loves you and He has complete purpose in your life. He's trying to not only connect with you, but for us to connect with each other. We should ask that question when we come in. When we go out, there's a different question. You know, it's, what has Christ done for me and what can I do for my brothers and sisters? When we go out, what has Christ done for me? And what can I do with the people outside of this room? My home, my city, my country, my world. Like there's one question coming in, there's another question going out. And I hope we do this. I hope this becomes a regular part for us, that when we come in, you know, before we get to that time of worship and song, we're saying, what has Christ done for me and what can I do for my brothers and sisters? But when we leave, what's Christ done for us? What's He done for me? What can I do for those that don't know Him? Like, this is that partnering and spreading the good news. All right, let's finish with a word of prayer. Lord, thank You. You have been so good to us. The blessings have been poured out. So thankful for that. Besides our mission month, this just is also a special day for us to recognize our moms and to love on them, to appreciate them. Help us to be able to do that. If there's broken relationships between anyone and their mom, I pray that they'll be able to restore that and work towards that and know that that's Your hope for them. Help us to embrace that, to understand, to be thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just before we're dismissed, happy Mother's Day. And there are a lot of forms of that, right? Do you guys have, like I have, my mom happens to be here this morning, so I have a mom in that. But there's a bunch of moms I have. Sometimes, Rose, are you back there? Where are you? Wave, Rose. She mothers me sometimes. Like, Wilma, are you back there? Where's Wilma? Oh, man, she mothers me. Like, if my head's getting a little too big, she pops that bubble, right? There's a lot of forms of that, right? There's a lot of forms of that. And so when you go out today, there's some flowers. We want all the ladies that are here today to take that. Kel, you have some special people next to you. Like, it's your son and your daughter-in-law. And we celebrated when you told us they were expecting, and then when they had the big gender reveal. They're there today. And I was thinking of, Mike, I was thinking, you know, this is that mother-to-be. Like, you get next to her, you feel the glow. Okay? You get next to Zach, man, the glow is huge. Okay? Because we're pregnant, right? Right, Zach? We're pregnant. She's doing all the work, but we're pregnant. I get that. So would you do this today? Like on your way out, man, any of the ladies that are here, and I'm not just talking, you know, the ones who mother you. It's those ones who are going to be moms in the future. Like, we're trying to love them and realize that God's called them to places and things that not all of us are called to. So would you do that? Would you give them a little hug? Would you, you know, get up next to them and just say, I'm so thankful for you. Okay? And then all of you ladies who are here, take one of those flowers. Just a little reminder of how much we love you. All right. Are you close to one of those moms now? Give them a hug. Okay? She doesn't have a kid here, so make sure you hug her. Okay? Yeah. Good. And we are dismissed. Okay?